Okay.
Okay, I just wanted to finish up what we were discussing, being Kesa La'asar, about Afila Sarai. So we went through in the, you know, with a lot of detail what the shear of the actual quantity of bread is Afila Sarai and what quantity is Afila Keva, and we saw all the different de'ot. It's interesting, if you look in the Rishonim here on a more, on a deeper level, the first question you really have to ask yourself is not how many kibitzim is arai, how many kibitzim is keva, but you know what's the nature of this heter of achilas arai in the first place. Why is it mutter to eat achilas arai chukvus sukkah? And if you look in the Rishonim, it seems to be that there's different formulations about why it's mutter to eat achilas arai chukvus sukkah. In the Ritva, for example, right, they're all very pithy. In the Ritva on the Mishnah, he says, very simply, truth is, that's what I always assume my whole life, like this Ritva. Says the Ritva, Ochlum shos arayichot l'sukkah, peir shekein adam ochel afilas arayichot l'beito. Right? He doesn't say the words. The words are flashing in neon lights. Teishu ke'im taduru, right? Just like at home, you would eat meals in your house, but you eat a snack outside your house, right? Meaning, how do I live at home? I come home for dinner. Right? But, now I'm not telling you the fact that I might eat lunch in the cafeteria at work. Okay, that's just another house. I eat lunch in the house where I work, and I eat dinner in the house where I live. But a snack, you just pick up a colon and eat toch kedei anything. That's the normal lifestyle, that you eat snacks all over the place. Right? So therefore, just like I would eat a snack outside my house, I can eat a snack outside my sukkah. That is what the Ritva says. However, when you open up the Ra'ah, he definitely sounds very different. It says the Ra'ah Ochlum Shosan Reichot Sukkah, the Achila Sarai lo Shma Achila. Achila Sarai is not called Achila. And it's not only the Ra'ah, because if you open up the Me'iri, you see the exact same thing. Ochlum Shosan Reichot Sukkah, Sha Achila Sarai lo Chashuva Achila. Okay, the editors added lo there because, you know, otherwise it would be hard to make sense of the Me'iri, but if we assume that that's the right Girsa, because I don't really have a Greek alternative. So then the Me'iri and the Ra'ah are saying something very different. They're saying it's just not called Achila. Now here we have to figure out exactly what they mean. What do you mean Achila Sarai is not called Achila? Meaning clearly that's not generally true. For example, if I eat a little bit of bacon, Achila Sarai, I still get malchus, right? That's still called achila. Clearly, achila sarai is still called achila. I have to make a bracha rishona. I have to make a bracha achron on a kazayis, even though kazayis is for sure achila sarai. And if it's treif, it's just as much an avera to eat bacon achila sarai as to eat bacon achila keva, right? We never heard that it's not called achila in kolaturkul. We never heard that a kohen, there's a difference whether he eats the truma. Is it more of a mitzvah for the kohen to eat the truma the keva than ba'arai? Normally, achilas arai, as long as it's a kezias, right? Achilas arai is called achila. So I assume what they mean here is that they don't literally mean it's not called achila for any purposes in the Torah. So what do they mean here? Now, if you want to be stubborn, and maybe you're right, you could say they really mean the same thing as the Ritva. This is just an indirect way of saying you would do it outside your house. I have a little trouble with that because it doesn't really sound like that at all. You know, the Ran says, it's not chashav, it's not ke'in taduru. Okay, that might be another way of saying the Ritva, even though he used the word not chashav. He says, it's not chashav ke'in taduru. What it means is you would eat outside your house. That could very well be. But the Ran, the Me'iri, say it's not called achila. That's very strange. What do they mean it's not called achila? So I think what they mean is that it's not called achila for the purposes of, it's not called achila, for the purposes of being koveya you in a certain place. Right? It's not called achila for the purpose that it defines where you live. We know, we mentioned in the Rogi Chavra last time, where you eat defines where you live. Right? It's not called achila to be a chashuv part of your life. Right? It's not an important part of your life.
Why are non-chashuv parts of your life pater min asukkah?
Aha! because since the chiyuv of sukkah, and in the end, I'm going to have to come down to, in the end, teshu came to duru, perhaps, since the chiyuv in sukkah is to live in the sukkah, then it means you should do significant things in the sukkah, because significant things define your life. Insignificant things, you don't have to define your life. Now it's become very subtle, but I think it's still a chakira.
And the Gemara is giving up, but you can carry that same thought over to Shana. You're defining that there's no such thing as Shana Rai. You can't have a Shana Rai because Shana means this. So the same thing. They're defining Achil to be Achil Sarai the same way that Shana Rai would be something that you don't have to do. But they're saying, oh no, Shana Sarai you have to call Shana. Achil Sarai you don't have to call Achila.
Okay, fair enough.
Isn't that related to the beginning of the Sugya Nagri Psochi? Whether tuning bracha on the frame with the koma, whether it's a type of achila that has its correlates in place.
Okay, very good. Hold that thought for a moment. So ochlan achila sarai chutz the sukkah. I think there are two different ways of understanding why we're ochlan achila sarai chutz the sukkah. One way is, one way is what the Ritva says, right? Because you would eat it outside your house. And therefore, teshu kein tadur means you don't have to be more makir in your sukkah than in your house. But I think what the Ra'ah and the Mi'iri are saying is because objectively, it's not a significant act. That's what we mean by lo shma achila. It's not a significant act. And now I think what Joel is trying to say here is, now I admit the difference is subtle. The difference is subtle, because maybe they're both coming from teshu kein tadur. Just the Ritva says, teshu kein tadur, judge what you would eat outside your house, you can eat outside your sukkah. Maybe the other Meir says, teshu kein tadur means significant acts of living. So significant act you have to do in your sukkah, an insignificant act is not significant. But the difference is what Joel points out, meaning how are we going to decide what's Arai and what's Keva? Are we going to look in Maseches Brachos and other Masechtos to see in Kol Torah Kula what's called a significant Achila and what's called an insignificant Achila? Or are we going to look at people's lifestyles, what they do on the road and what they do at home? Right? How are we going to judge to draw the line? Are we going to use objective Kol Torah Kula criteria? Or are we going to just look at people's lifestyles? And I think here we have a, before I get to, right, Joel says, after all, look at Hilchas Brachos in terms of what's kvius, what's not, nafkamina being, you have to make a bracha achron in your place, or maybe nafkamina, can one guy be motzi, the other people in bracha be shown up. Like, is that what we do? We're going to look in the Maseches Brachos for what's called kavua? Or no, we're just going to look at what people do in and out of their houses. Let me just give you an example of this, is the greatest example of this, the famous machlokas between the Yichusei Tanam Ram Orayim and the Maharach or Zeruah. Right, the Chusei Tanam Vamarayim, one of the, for some reason, I think this is more common in Ashkenaz than Sfard, from what I've seen. There are a lot of Ashkenazic Rishonim who wrote Sfarim in a chapter order that, where they order the chapters in interesting ways. Like, I think in the Sfardim, it's more common that either something's in order of Shas or just in order of areas of Halacha. But the Yichusei Tanam V'Amoraim, for example, is an alphabetical order of Tanam V'Amoraim. He just goes to Aleph, he goes to an alphabetical order, all the Tanam V'Amoraim start with Aleph, and goes through all the sugyos therein, and then in Beis, and then in Gimel. The Yichusei Tanam V'Amoraim, in Rabbi Chidka, because Rabbi Chidka talks about Suda Shabbos, right, the four Sudas on Shabbos, etc., then gets into a tangent discussing Shabbos, and he says something interesting. Let me just illustrate it. He says, nearly, that achilas arai v'chacham ramata outside the sukkah, that's only in Chol HaMoed, because it's not chashuv. But if you eat on Shabbos, or Yom Tov, then it's also the achilas arai outside the sukkah. Why? Because he goes here to Maseches Maisros. Maseches Maisros, without getting into all the details, but if you have, for example, you have tevel, which you have not yet brought into the house, you process in the field, didn't bring it into the house, you're allowed to eat achilas arai, not achilas keva. There are certain things that make it keva. There are certain things that are koveya lemaisros. They define it as more keva dik. One of the things that koveya lemaisros, meaning you can't eat a snack. So for example, if I have an orchard, and I grow oranges, and I pick my oranges, and I want to eat an orange in the field. That's perfectly mutter. That's a rai. But if it's on Shabbos, I picked it before Shabbos, all fair and square, and I want to eat an orange in the field, that's usser. And so machlokes tana, maybe even if I plant it on Shabbos, I have leftovers. Okay, so on a weekday, I can eat an orange in the field, because that's a rai. On Shabbos, I cannot eat an orange in the field, because that gives chashivus of tfiyos, right? Because Suda Shabbos adds chashivus. So he says the Yehudah of Rabbi Yehudah of Clonus, he says, the kind of Shabbos kovas l'maiser. After all, Shabbos makes a keva in Maseches Maisros. I feel all right. Mishum the Cholakil Shabbos only do the Hashuvim Hain. Because it's a kiyum of Oneg Shabbos, so it adds Hashivas. It's objectively more important. Because of the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos. Hachanami, then Yim Shabbos, Sochachag, Osolechol Rai, Chot Sokha, Dachil, Oneg Kevahu. He says, just like in Maseches Maisros, Shabbos makes a keva, for Sukkah, Shabbos makes a keva. Now that's the big chumra. We don't pass like this chumra. But he says, a big chumra. He says that on Shabbos, you cannot eat anything outside the sukkah. Even a tiny snack, you can't eat outside the sukkah on Shabbos, because it's considered keva. Did the Marach or Zeruah say back to him? He doesn't quote him by name, but the Reb Chaim, the son of the Or Zeruah, says back to him. He says, interestingly, he could have said, and then that would not belong on our board, he could have said, don't bring proof to anything from a Maseches Maisros. That's a special rule in Maisros, and has nothing to do with a Kolatar Kula. But that's precisely what he doesn't say. He says, Maseches Maisros defines objective keva and arai for Kolatar Kula. And for example, he says another chumah we don't hold like. What's the chumah we don't hold like? He says, since in Maseches Maisros it says whatever you eat on Shabbos is keva, therefore if you eat a cookie on Wednesday, you say Mizonos and Alamechia. If you eat a cookie on Shabbos and keva, you wash and say hamotzi and bench. Now, let's review what he's just told us that Maseches Maisros defines keva for all dalei chelkei shulchan aruch, for kol Torah kula. Then he says, except for one thing. Whatever Shabbos is keva for all halachas except for one. We don't agree with him. We say if you eat a cookie on Shabbos, you say mezonos and alamechia, maisim chol yom. But he says, no, that is keva kol Torah kula, except for Sukkah. Why? So he says, "Mi olecho rabbi Shabbos chutz sukkah shema ein lasor." May I time the husband in teishu came to duru because teishu came to duru. What does he mean by this? I think what he means by this is very clear. He says this is called keva objectively. It's objectively called keva. It's keva for hilchos maestros. You're not allowed to eat it without taking off trumas or maestros. And it's keva for hilchos brachos. You have to wash and bench. Yeah, I'm not saying you pass like it. I'm just saying what he holds. But it's not keva for sukkahs because sukkahs depends on teishu came to duru. What are they arguing about? Rabbi Yehudah Bar Klonimus in the Yichusei Tanan V'Amorayim says that whatever is keva for Maisros is also to eat outside the sukkah. And Rabbi Chaim Ben Or Zeruah says that no, it's keva for Maisros, but you're still allowed to eat outside the sukkah. I think they're arguing about exactly this kakira, about the nafkamina of this kakira. The nafkamina is, do you judge keva be'arai by objective, you know, kol ha-Torah kula criteria, or by what people eat outside their house? Let me ask you a very simple question. Would people eat a snack on Shabbos outside their house? Of course they would. Right? Meaning, on Shabbos, you would be just as likely to eat a snack outside your house as on a weekday. I understand objectively it's a halos keva, but it makes no difference. Just like I would eat a snack in the park on Wednesday, I would eat a snack in the park on, just like a chocolate bar in the park on Wednesday, I would eat a chocolate bar in the park on Shabbos. Makes no difference. I mean, just like my kids would have a snack in shul on Wednesday. They would go to the Candyman and have even more snacks in the shul on Shabbos. So I think that this is exactly, one case is Shabbos. Says the Maharach or Zeruah, Mutter lechol arai chutz l'sukkah. And here I'm filling in. He just says, Teishu came to Duru, because you would eat outside your house. If you would eat outside your house, you can eat outside the sukkah. But, no, maybe let me don't use the black. But says the Yichusei Tanoim Ba'amorayim, Agav, let me just give a little public service announcement. It's not clear what the name of this book is, Yichusei Tanoim Ba'amorayim. It's clear there's a book, it's written by Rehuda Raklonimus. Three different people published the book starting from different letters of the alphabet. They all gave it a different name. So if you see Yichusei Tanoim Ba'amorayim and Erkei Tanoim Ba'amorayim, you know, it's all the same book. There's only one book like that from the Rishonim, Rehuda Raklonimus. Just, you know, whoever published it. I heard a rumor that someday they're going to publish it all in one book with the whole alphabet. But right now, there are three different people who each publish different different letters and give it a different name. But says the Yichusei Tanoim Ba'amorayim, he said, Asur le'echol arayim chutz v'sukkah, because it is formally defined as keva. So he looks at it as just like, are you doing something important or unimportant? I'd say it's not just formal definition, it's important. You're doing something important. Right? I would say, let me say it a little better. Because it is a significant achiva. What makes it significant? Because on Shabbos, all eating is significant, because onan Shabbos, after all, fancy steak dinner on Wednesday, what's more significant? A fancy steak dinner with eight lafas on Wednesday? Or a cookie on Shabbos, which is a fancy steak dinner with lafas and fries and everything on Wednesday, which is just getting, you know, physical animal enough from Olam Hazeh, or a cookie on Shabbos, which is owning Shabbos and connecting our physicality to the Olam Hazeh Yonim. Obviously, the cookie on Shabbos is more significant. And therefore, it's usher outside the sukkah, because we look at objective significance. And Marachor Zohar says, who cares about all your philosophical and halachic significance? Lamaisa, if you would eat it outside your house, you can eat it outside the sukkah. And everyone knows you would eat outside your house the same on Shabbos as on a weekday.
Do you think the Rabbi would agree with them? But not necessarily.
No, because I think they might disagree with him, because they might say that you can't bring a riot from Maestros, because maybe Maestros is a special chumrah. After all, the Ra'an Meir would probably say that you can't even learn from Maestros to Hilchas Brachos. So they might think that Maestros doesn't define Kol Torah Kumah. Right? You could disagree with the Yichud Sinan Ram for two reasons. You could say, you're right that Sukkah depends on Kol Torah Kumah, but Maestros doesn't define Kol Torah Kumah. That's not what Marav Zura said. Marav says, Maestros does define Kol Torah Kumah. That's why I brought him, because he says Maestros defines benching. But Sukkah doesn't depend on Kol Torah Kumah. Another example of this would be, now Agav, how do we paskin? We paskin very clearly. It's a Mefurish Magen Avraham, I put in the brackets here, and the Mishnah Berurah. We paskin very, very clearly, like the Marachor Zarua, but you could say, for two reasons, as you pointed out, right, you could also disagree and say that Maestros is a special chumrah and not definitive le'inyan kol ha'tar kula. Excuse my Russian tevos, this is kol ha'tar kula. It's yeshivish Russian tevos. So the Maestro, we paskin, you can eat a cookie outside your sukkah on cookie smaller than an egg, I'm pretty sure. I mean, not a giant cookie, a regular cookie outside your sukkah on Shabbos and Yontif. We paskin that way, but it could be because we hold, like the Ritva Zderach, and you would eat a cookie outside your house, or it could be that maybe we really do agree with the Adam Iri. We just think that Maestros doesn't define Kol Torah Kula. It's a special Chumrah in Maestros, because the truth is, if you look in Maestros, a lot of things are Koveya there that are, like, very, very surprising. So it could be they just make special chumrahs in Maestros. Why do they make special chumrahs in Maestros? Because why should we eat things without taking trubas or Maestros? Why should we give you two money kulas? Okay. Now, let me just bring up one. Now, Agav, by the way, the more interesting case that they discuss in the postgame is, what if you're eating a kazayis and it counts for your Sudas Yontif or Shabbos? What if you're eating your Sudas Shabbos as a kazayis? If you're eating your Sudas Shabbos as a kazayis, then I think, let me just point out here, 1.1. What about not snack on Shabbos? not a Shabbos snack, but Suda Shabbos Bikazayas. What if you're eating Suda Shabbos Bikazayas? So then, that's very controversial. But then you can see either way, because maybe I wouldn't, it's my Suda Shabbos, I wouldn't eat it outside my house either. So there, I would definitely lean towards, there I might lean towards, although it's very controversial. What if I eat my Suda Shabbos Bikazayas? There, I don't think it's enough for me. There, I would say this is not such a nafka mina, because here I would say that it probably usser, because I wouldn't eat Suda Shabbos outside my house. So this doesn't even belong on the board, maybe, outside my house. After all, I would eat a snack. Who would eat Suda Shabbos outside your house? Like, if I'm happy with the Suda Shabbos, I would probably eat it in my house. And here I'd also say it's probably usser because it's very significant. It's very significant. It counts as my Suda Shabbos. So if you ask me, my intuition would be to usser both ways, which makes it not enough gemina. Okay, if you want, and that is the sheet of the tzlach that I put in the brackets, if you wanted to. And this is the sheet of the tzlach. And the Prima Gadim says Koveya Suda on. He says even not Shabbos, just anytime you're Koveya Suda on a Kazayas. And obviously it's also the Sheet of the Chusin Tanan Mamarot. He goes much further. And if you wanted to say not that way, you know, or could be Docha that, you know, this amount I would eat outside my house. And here it's always a question of, like, what factors do you take into account, what factors do you not? You say, after all, if it wasn't Shabbos, I would eat outside my house, so maybe we don't take we only take the amount into account, although I think that's dochek, or you could be dochek, that this amount is not inherently significant. So here, I think that basically this is not enough kamina. Not enough kamina, because I think no matter which side of the equation you take, if you look at it as Suda Shabbos, it's significant, and you wouldn't eat it in the park. Who eats Suda Shabbos in the park? And if you want to say, well, let's pretend it's not Suda Shabbos and only measure the amount, then you pretend it's not significant, and you wouldn't eat it outside your house. So I don't think it's enough kamina. Therefore, I'm just going to put it on the board so we know it's not an afkamina. I think the real afkamina is a snack on Shabbos, because it's obvious to me that everyone would eat a snack on Shabbos outside their house. But yet, it's obviously chusay tanan mavorim that a snack on Shabbos is significant.
What about people who eat their Shabbos lunch in the backyard?
What about people eat their Shabbos lunch? That's an interesting question. What about people eat their Shabbos lunch in the backyard, on the deck?
It's obviously not in the house. Right,
so it's a good question. My intuition there is, that that still counts as eating in the house. Meaning they're eating in their makom pius, that's part of their house, etc. So that doesn't bother me. Okay,
but
let me just bring, yes. Correct. That's right. So that where it comes up, and we'll come back to that. Okay, let me just also point out this analysis of the Bir Halacha.
What is making it a roi is the shear, not the manner in which he's eating it.
Correct, which so I think is a little duffel, because I think probably we should take into account the manner, not just the amount. But if I had to defend the other shita, then that's what I would do. But it's not enough kamina, because basically both sides say the exact same thing.
Yes, absolutely.
The Shabbos lunch in the backyard, so the same spot in the backyard, I wouldn't be able to eat on Sukkos, even though I'd usually eat there on Shabbos, because that same spot is considered in the house. Why isn't that same spot considered like Ke'ilu in the Sukkos? Obviously not in the Sukkah, but it's Ke'ilu. It's, you know, it's part of, if you're saying the backyard is part of the house, so therefore that same spot should be considered Kovea, like it's like...
Right, so I think that it's a good question. Basically, it's a good question. I would have to give one or two answers. Basically, the question of if I eat on my deck or in the backyard during the week, then why can't I eat in my backyard on Sukkos is the same as the reducto ad absurdum that Rav Moshe brought up in his tshuva that maybe it was in brackets, I forget if it was in brackets or not, about Tehillim. Mm-hmm. He says, if someone likes to camp out in the backyard and see the stars and sleep in a sleeping bag,
and they would do that during the year. You can tell me they can do that in Sukkot? Obviously not. So, and it's the same thing. You can tell me if they eat in their backyard during the year, they can eat in their backyard in Sukkot? Obviously not. Why obviously not? So I can think of two explanations. Either number one, you have to say, leave your house and go to your Sukkot is Lavdavka. Rather means, leave your kvios of the makom you normally eat and sleep, which includes the house and the yard, and go to Sukkah. Teshukin Taduru, just like you would normally eat in your house, in your house or yard, you have to eat in your Sukkah. Or the other option could be, which is the way your Moshe takes it, is that since you don't have a good reason for eating in your backyard, it's just like nice. So the heter teshukin Taduru is only when you have a good reason. That was Moshe's whole thing. Okay, so it's subtle. You have to think about it a little more. Let me just point out another nafkamina. There's a big machlokes Rishonim, we'll chazer in a second, about wine. Are you allowed to drink wine? And the Mishabura says, who had in other alcoholic beverages, right? Because after all, in our societies, and even his societies, there's no difference. There's no difference sociologically between a wine and beer. Meaning, same way people get together and drink wine, they get together and drink beer. I mean, it has slightly different social class connotations. But, you know, we take it as seriously. As a matter of fact, I think people take beer more bikvius than wine nowadays. Maybe just because, I don't know, we're not high enough social class. I don't know. Anyway, let me come back to that in a moment. There's a big machlokes Rishonim, we'll see. Do you need a sukkah for wine or not? Is wine peiros that don't need a sukkah? Or no, wine's not peiros. Wine is like a chosh of food that people are koveya themselves for. Right? So that's a good question. I mean, apples are clearly peiros. Right? Apples are clearly snacks. It's obvious an apple is a snack. It's obvious potato chips is a snack. It's obvious candy is a snack. How about wine? On the one hand, wine is a snack because it's not a meal. On the other hand, no. Like, people get together and, like, they make plans with each other to come over and drink wine, and they get a nice table to drink wine. People are koveya themselves to drink wine. So there's a big machlokes Rishonim about wine. How would you analyze that machlokes Rishonim? Now, you could have said, they're just arguing mitzias, or they're arguing where to draw the line. Let's say, maybe they're just arguing, do people drink wine outside their house or not? Even though you think we could just go investigate. Or maybe they're just arguing, is wine considered a chashuv thing or not a chashuv thing? But the Bi'ur Halacha has a fascinating analysis. The Mishabur in his Bi'ur Halacha, how does he analyze this? You have to read the Bi'ur Halacha's analysis. I'm not saying it has to be right, but this is his analysis. He says, even if you're covet yourself to drink wine, you're allowed to eat it outside the sukkah, according to the Makaba. King Muchabes Yosef, Dr. Moshe, Yeshokan Azen, it's a Makalok Shoshonim and Akron. Vavi Beketzer Das Kol Echel Vitaimo. Vinak Ra may be Makal Diver Shokan Archim, Grafa Taflam Vavi Beis. The Gross says, what's the Makar of the Makilim? Damrina Shah the Hedil and the Birks of Mazar, Lokavi Inchi Sudas Al Yayin. You're not Kobe Asud on wine, but Filo Kava Batla Daitu Kalam, even if you are Kobe Asud of wine, it's Batla Daitu, it's called Adam Hood in the Yasukkah. Basically, what does the Gross say? He says wine is potter from sukkah because it's potter from benching. It's not halachically considered kvius. Okay, so what does the other mandamer say? After all, it's true. Wine is potter from benching, right? So how is there another pshat? The ata nevar das hachokam behiv reyasma hadal leel behine avsheish will see a second lichos or yasma kanami kamakam nili sagdol she tells me how the isu v'nimar da chachesim beis on a bun teishu he do or ochel v'shos v'sukkah. After all, the bryce says chachesim beis eat and drink v'sukkah. Drink what? Drink wine and a stop. So that shows wine is chayim sukkah. Mehad debrachas aflam advach. Doesn't say in brachas explicitly wine is not keva. Gam kini raya klal. Dilin yin sukkah debin teshvikin to duru. Shani bein lukulu bein lukumra. Sukkah depends on teshvikin to duru. Sometimes more machr in the kol torgulu. Sometimes more makel in the kol torgulu. Usually more makel, but sometimes more machr. Hayin dachilas arayi du kabeitza. Achilu shi das sukkah me'amad kabeitza chayim in torb bifzah mazon. Hachapat mi sukkah. Like, for example, if you just the kabeitza, not anymore. Even if you go let's hide in Birkus Amozo, you're still potter from sukkah, because sukkah is more makel, because you would eat a kibetza outside your house. The gamma beitza wants to shiokal chilas reichel tzabetza. You would eat a kibetza of bread outside your house. Shira chamdu kibetza. The chaylin is shtia. After ba'am alo chashiva tfias chai Birkus Amozo, even though kol tarkul it's not called tfias and you're potter from benching. Afilu shasa kama kabin yain, if you drink many gallons of wine. Hacha de be'inan ke'in taduru. The ain derek lishtos yain b'kfias chutz tzabetza. No one ever sits and fixes themselves to drink wine outside of their house. Al ken chayiv b'sukkah, ken nirali nachum. This is very fascinating.
Everyone knows you eat an apple outside your house. You eat however many apples you want outside your house. You eat however many potato chips you want outside your house. You drink however much Coca-Cola you want outside your house, and that's normal. But is it normal to, like, sit outside your house and go through a couple bottles of wine with your friends? No, that's like, you know, if you sit on a, if I see someone sitting on a park bench drinking a water bottle, that's very normal. Someone sitting on a park bench eating an apple, that's very normal. If I see someone on the park bench with his friend polishing off a bottle of red wine, so that's not normal. Either they're a bunch of winos or they're just, you know, crazy people. Or everyone knows you don't get together for drinks in the park. I'm not saying you wouldn't go to your friend's house. That's another house, right? You go to a bar, that's another house. You go to your friend's house, that's another house. Obviously, you go to restaurants. It's because a restaurant is a kind of house. But no one goes to the park. I could say, I'll meet you at the park shop this afternoon, and I'll bring potato chips. Right? That's perfectly normal. I'll bring potato chips, and you bring water or apple juice. That's a very normal thing to do, to go to the park. No one says, I'll meet you at the park, and I'll bring red wine, and you'll bring white wine. It's just, because it's not a normal thing to do. That's such a, you don't get together to drink wine outside your house. It's just not done. It's not done. And therefore, what is, now think about the Bir Halacha saying here. The Bir Halacha says, those who pot your wine from Sukkah look to Maseches Brachos and say, it's halachically not called Keva. Those who say you're Chayev to drink wine in Sukkah say, who cares what it says in Maseches Brachos? In Sukkah, we only care about what you do outside your house, and you wouldn't do it outside your house. So according to his analysis, let's say number two, Yayin Lefi, the Bir Halacha's analysis. What does the Bir Halacha say? He says that the man de Omar Potter min Sukkah is because it's not called Keva in Maseches Brachos, right? And that he quotes from the Gra, right? The Gra says it's not called Keva in Maseches Brachos.
It is called Keva in Maseches Brachos, according to the Rambam.
Aha, okay, good point. Hold that for a second. But the man de Omar Chayat Masukkah says Sukkah shiny because you wouldn't drink yayin. And he admits, if you're thirsty, you might have a swig of yayin if that's what you had, but you wouldn't really drink yayin. You wouldn't drink yayin in the park. I mean, a bum might, but that doesn't count, right? A normal person, right? You would really feel very strange if you saw your friend with a bottle of wine in the park. It's just not something you do outside your house. Or outside a house. You know, it's not something you do, you know, in the zoo. It's not something you do in the park. Mm-hmm. It's not something you do in the Tachana Merkazit. I mean, unless you go to a restaurant there, you know, but let's say the old days, right? Remember when there were no restaurants, it was just a bus stop. Not something you do at the bus stop, right? Therefore, it's, do I have everyone on the right side? Yeah. So now you could have disagreed. You could have said, no, they're both like the Ritva. They just argue about whether people drink wine outside their house. Although that's dachuk, because why didn't they just go check? And it seems posh to me they don't. Or you could say, no, this is what Joel was saying, they're all like they're on the Meiri. They're just arguing as to whether it's halacha called kvias or not, because as Joel points out, the Bir Halacha doesn't. There's a Gemara in Brachas that is not kvias, but a Gemara in Psachim that implies that it is kvias, and then you have to get them to work out, and you can have a whole lumdus. But the way the Bir Halacha analyzes it, he says, look, if you look at it formally in Kol Char Kula, then it's not kvias. If you look at it in terms of what people do in their house, it is kvias, and this could be an afkamina between the Ritva and the Ra'ah.
I mean, I don't understand. I really don't understand. Mm-hmm. According to the Ra'ah and the Meiri, it doesn't matter whether it's kvias or not. It just matters whether it's chashuv or not. I mean, so they're all siding with the Ritva. I mean, both sides of this chakir is with the Ritva. Of taste of getting tadu. I mean, if it's a machal chashuv, yayin, you know,
No. So I'm not asking whether it's a chosh of food or not. I'm asking whether it is. I'm not asking whether the food is chosh of or not. I'm asking whether the act of eating is a significant part of life or not.
Yeah, just because it's kefir doesn't mean it's chosh of, though. That's what Joel said.
No, but that's what they start saying. Achilas Arai is not called Achila. What does that mean?
It's not called Achila. Meaning it's not called Achila Chashev. Meaning they might agree that Keva to some extent maybe is not called an Achila Chashev. Meaning it would depend. Maybe in Hilchos Sukkah you have like it's an exception that every single Achilas Keva is Achila.
Okay, I hear the Taina. Let me just point out one more thing, which is the fasting machlokes you showed him, which we'll come back to. What about basar v'dagim, etc.? Meaning, peros don't eat sukkah. Well, see, there is a very small minority position otherwise. But it says mefurish in the Gemara, in Yoma, that peros are part of sukkah. Pas clearly needs sukkah. Bread, pot, clearly needs sukkah. Right? What about something that's neither peros nor pot? What's neither peros nor pot? What about meal foods? What about steak? Does steak need sukkah or not? On the one hand, it's not bread. On the other hand, it's not. On the other hand, it's not. It's not peirot. So this is a big machloket rishonim, which we'll get to again in a block from now. It depends how you define meat targima. What about basar v'dagim u'gvina? Right. What about meal foods? And it's not just basar v'dagim u'gvina. There are other meal foods. Like what about rice? Right. Rice is not a snack. Right, what about baked potatoes? Potato chips are a snack. But baked potatoes are not a snack. Baked potatoes are a meal food, right? Technically it's a pre, although maybe everything is, let's think with basar, dagim, and gvina, right? Which is clearly not peyri. But on the other hand, clearly not bread. So what's the status of basar? So here it's a big machlokes rishonim. As we know, I didn't bring everyone here, but the Rush here discusses the status of steak, right? And the Rush says that here we are, basar gvino shartar mchutz mipeiri boi soka, right? That meat and cheese and fish, etc., need sukkah, and then he brings a raya from meat targima, etc. But then he says that maybe there's no raya from that. Maybe that's not what mean tergima means. First he says, let me read it to you. I apologize. Okay, and then he brings raya. Then he says, no, maybe they ain't raya mean tergima lahatzur sukkah lebasar lekvina. Gamin directly kboa suda lehem. You don't have kviya suda for basar and kvina. V'lo chosha mechilas aray de pas. And it's not any more important than achilas aray. And the in Tosfos it's very clear that Tosfos holds basar and kvina does not need sukkah. This is a big machlokes rishonim. Does basar or kvina v'dagim need sukkah or not? So what I would say is that let's see if we can. Does the blue work? That's not great.
Have you tried to try to get two markers?
No, that's fine. Let's just put here. What about basar, dagim? What about basar, dagim, gvina? So here we have the Rush already brings down two deos about basar, dagim, gvina, right? It's a big machlokas. The Rambam sounds like basar, dagim, gvina are chayiv in sukkah. Because he says peiros are pasur from sukkah, and he never says bread is chayiv in sukkah. So if he never said what's chayiv, he only says peiros are pasur, it sounds like whatever's not peiros is chayiv in sukkah. Well, it's a diuk, and the Ruvein Manoach deals with it's a good diuk or not. Tosus later on we'll see holds it's not. The Rush is the Suffolk. The Re Milunil holds its potter from Sukkah. So it's a big machlokes, right? Big machlokes. So what's the yisod of this machlokes about basar v'dagim? Now, tell me if I'm crazy, but what did the Rush say here? He says, it's not kvius. It's not kvius. Now, first of all, it might be different nowadays, right? Nowadays, most people are kotei their suda on basar v'dagim and not on bread. But at least in the time of Chazal, it wasn't normal to be koveya suda on steak. You're koveya suda on bread, right? That's not a normal kviya. That's not a kviya suda. On the other hand, do you think they ate steak in the park, right? Would you eat basar v'dagim outside your house? I don't know, it's not something you eat outside your house. It's not a snack. What? That's interesting. We have mangals nowadays, right? It's interesting. We also have picnics nowadays. So you have to figure out where picnics fit in. What?
People drink wine at picnics a lot also.
Right. So once you have picnic, you eat bread at picnics also, right? So it doesn't prove anything. So how do picnics fit in is a, would picnics be holchei drachem? Would picnics be, I don't know, maybe. Maybe picnics would be mutter chutz l'sukkah, although I'm not positive that. L'maisa. Anyway, this is a big machlokes shona. I think you could easily say that it's osur because you don't eat them outside your house. That might be the day of the osrim. Or you might say it's mutter, as the Rush says in his second day, because it's not considered via suda, because just like there's no kfiya suda on wine, there's no kfiya suda on basar v'dagim, then you'd have an interesting question. Does halacha change or does halacha not change? How about the fact that in the 21st century, people are kfiya on basar v'dagim, even though in the 6th century and the 5th and 4th and 3rd they weren't? I'm going to leave that to the as a sort of Ian for now, but at least it's not considered kfiya suda in Hilchos Brachos, and that is what the Rush said. The Rush says, maybe it's potter from Sukkah, because after all, it's not kfiya suda in Hilchos Brachos. So I think the question here is, do you judge by how important a meal it is, or do you judge by what you do outside your Sukkah? Sometimes, and that could be enough meat, if you judge by how important a meal it is, it's not an important meal. I know it's expensive, but it's not an important meal, because at least in the times of Chazal, no one made a meal out of meat and fish. You only put a little on your bread. And therefore, it wasn't an important meal to have a meal of bread, to have a meal of meat. On the other hand, would you eat it outside your house? Pashtas, you don't eat it outside your house.
But if you're going back to what was, I was going to ask on yayin also. Back in those times, people, that's what they drank outside. They didn't carry bags of water. They carried bags of wine, and they drank wine as their drink going around places.
Okay.
So if you want to go back, then you have to go back to yayin also.
Let me say this a little, Bikut is not a, let me say this a little better. It is not a significant act of kfiyas. It is a significant, right, Shabbos Kovas, is it kvius or not? Right? Wine is not called kvius. Right? Not called keva, not called kvius suda. The point is that if you look at what's called kvius, what's an act of kvius, what's an act of establishing yourself versus an act of arai in kultur kula? Or do you look at what you do inside your sukkah or outside your sukkah? And back to the wine, I know I didn't answer Morty's question, I just danced around it. That's why even those who hold your chayiv in wine say you're only chayiv in wine when you're drinking it in quantities with your friends, not when you're just, you know, relieving your thirst a little.
No, the Rebbe says all you need is a rias. He doesn't talk about you having friends.
Okay, but the Bir Halacha does not quote that sheet at all.
So what? I mean, okay.
Okay, so that's a Enochanami. Let me come back to it. Okay, Lemaisa, let me just review what we wanted to say, is that I think that if I looked in the Rishonim, I was just intrigued by seeing that there seem to be two different formulations of why achilas arai is potter. It's just because it's not called an act of kvios, it's lo shema achila in general, having nothing to do with how you treat your house. It's just not called an act of establishing yourself. Or is it because you would eat it outside your house? And I think the nafkamina might be, number one, if it's a matter of just whether it has formal kvios power, Shabbos has kvios power, but you would still eat it outside your house. So that's what Yehusat HaMorim says, chayav. Marachos Rish says Potter. Number two, Yayin, according to the Bir Halacha's analysis, it doesn't have Kfiyas power. Yayin is not called Kfiyas in the Seches Brachos, but yet you wouldn't get together to drink a bottle of wine outside your house. And it could be also Butzer Beitz V'Dagim. It's not called Kfiyas in Kol Torkula. However, it is something that you would eat in your house that you don't eat on the park bench.
What you're saying, though, is very possibly very revolutionary. The Gabay Tfisa Brachos also, because if you say that the whole reason that basar, dagim, and gvina are not to be considered kriya suda is because they used to lafet otam et ha'ad, so then the same thing is about benching and brachos. How can you say?
You know, I could introduce you to a neighbor of mine. Right, two doors down from me, I could introduce you to someone who takes that to an extreme. But I will leave it as, it's a very fascinating philosophical question,
when it comes to these objective definitions of kol tarkula, are they objective based on what life was like in the days of the time of Amoraim? Or, which is probably not altogether that different from the times of the Chumash, because life changed at a slower pace then. Or are they objective but based on our century? That would be a tremendous nafkamina in all kol tarkula. Same question about treifos. Right. So clearly the standard Orthodox Masora of all Orthodox rabbis I know, except for one who lives two doors down from me, clearly the standard, our Masora, is that when we define things, we define things based on how Chazal defined them, and not based on our century, usually. Of course, it gets tricky because there are exceptions. Then you have to ask, why should we define the way Chazal defined them? Is it because there's some deeper philosophical significance and it's not just a matter of sociology? Or is it because it is just a matter of sociology, but once Chazal says something, it becomes Torah Sheval Peh, Hashem is Maskim, and then you can't change it, even if the logic changes. That's already too philosophical for us now. But you're right, that's a great question. Okay.
I have one question. How come we're being so extreme that the two shitas are so extreme? Because when I read the Baal HaMor the first time, I understood that the Baal HaMor held by Peyrit. I don't want to get into this philosophy. But that there are certain things that are out of the ballpark of whether taste will get into the rule or not. And in other words, just say that eating apples outside of the sukkah is like reading a book outside of the sukkah. And it's not b'chlal on these halachas of whether it's kavur or not. That's the way I understood the understanding of
But why is
that? That's a combination of both of
them. I'm not sure why is eating apples like reading a book.
Because Peyrit are not in... All right,
meaning, what I'm saying is there are two ways to look at it. Because it's not intrinsically significant, or because you would do it outside your house. And those are just two different ways of judging. When you look at everything, you judge by intrinsic significance, or do you judge by what you do outside your house. Might sometimes work out the same, might sometimes not.
On the that we're talking about, I'm learning like the row on the Mimi. And then, after I've already established what chetz I have, then I pass them like the ritual.
Okay. All right. Let's leave that to come back to for now. I just a few other points this morning I wanted to point out. One point, yes, Ohana.
I don't understand that we're understanding Iri is not a significant act of bias. What does that mean?
Meaning, we don't look at what you do in your house, what we do outside your house. We look at whether this is something that is called a serious meal, or this is something that is called a light, whether this is something that's called a serious meal or something called a light snack. Having nothing to do with what you do outside your house. We just want to know, is it a significant act of living or not a significant act of living? And then we go through Kol Tarkula and figure out, is this called a Sudas Keva or is this not?
I thought maybe said we have to tie it off in any ways that they should get
to. So it may be that the reason why you have to eat your Sudas Keva in the Sukkah is because Teishu against Duru means you have to be your main Dira in the Sukkah, and the Sudas Keva is your main Dira. So it could be that it also comes down, but not Teishu against Duru is in what you would do in your house. Teishu against Duru is an objective Maisa Dira. So that's what comes down. Are you looking for an objective Maisa Dira, or are you looking for what you would do in your house? And the question being, let me just give you this simple question. There are two things that are mutter to do outside your house. One is to eat a sandwich, a big sandwich, when you're holchei drachim. Another is to one is to eat a full sandwich meal when you're holchei drachim. The other is it's mutter outside your sukkah to talk to your friend. Why are those two things mutter? Talking to your friend, because it's not eating or sleeping. It's not one of the basic Maisei Dira. So it's mutter outside the sukkah. Why is Holchei Drachim mutter? Because it is a basic Maisei Dira, but there's a heter because you do it outside your house. So I want to ask, what is eating an apple? Is eating an apple mutter because it's like talking to your friend? It's just not one of the Maisei Dira that you have to do in your sukkah because it's not called achila, it's not called sudas keva. Or is it like holchei drachim? It is a maisa dira. You have a heter to do it outside your sukkah because you would do it outside your house. So that's the takir I'm trying to say. I'm sorry if it wasn't clear enough. Here it would be like
a meal of holchi drachim, meaning it is the kind of achilu you should do in the sukkah, but you have a hetter because you would do it outside your house. Or is it like talking to your friend? You know why you're allowed to do it outside the sukkah? Because there are two basic actions you have to do in the sukkah, eating and sleeping, and it's neither of them. It's not called eating. What do you mean not called eating? Because it's not called eating, because something it's not a sudas keva is not a basic action of dira.
Maybe that would fall under latayel, and the only reason why there's a patur is because people back then, since they didn't have phones, would always leave the sukkah.
Uh-huh. Okay, so it's you might be right. I mean, really, maybe be ikaron, you have to do everything in your sukkah, unless you have a hetzer.
I just, that's what the rest, it's just a lot more consistent also. And you have to ask, why did the Ra'an Meir say, oh, okay, when we come to achila, then we're going to have a different definition versus how we judge all the other aspects of sukkah.
Okay. I hear your time. I think that's an open question.
Another thing is that we, assuming that the kvias, the objective kvias is based off of the sociology of those times,
mm-hmm.
and Teishu Kehizuru is basically a sociological recognition. So it basically comes down to the same thing. What is the sociology?
No, because it differs. Are you looking at a sociology of what's considered a real meal? Or the sociology of what people do in the house and what people do in the park? Those are still two different questions. I mean, because there might be something that's not a real meal, but you do it in your house. Or there might be something that is a real meal, but you do it in the park. Right? They're not the same sociological question. The sociological question of, is this considered a proper meal? And the sociological question of, would you do this in the park? Those are two different questions. In Lani Yostati. Okay. If the chakira is subtle, then it might be. I think it exists.
Could you explain how wine is not feminism?
Ah, so the Bir Halacha said, because wine is not considered a kviya suda. It's not a meal.
Okay.
However, you would drink it in your house.
Right, but so you're not taking the kashya, yes. What? You're not taking the kashya that it was like a water bottle of wine that people
would drink. Right, no, he means like to drink wine with your friends, let's say. You wouldn't drink wine with your friend in the park, but you wouldn't call it a meal. So if you're looking at what's called a meal, meaning it's not a basic action of living, but it's something you would do in your house. So it's not a basic action of living, so if you take the Ra'an Meir's approach, then you should be potter. But it's something you would do in your house. If you take the Ritva's approach, then you should be chayav. That's what the Bir Halacha sounds
activity,
like.
You sit down for the activity of drinking wine, not
right.
Drinking
it. Exactly.
Drinking wine itself wouldn't necessarily.
Right. Okay, let me just point out a few other things. Number one, a very fascinating discussion in the Rishonim and Achronim and Posting, Nachminas Halacha L'Maisa, it's, what does the Mishnah say? Ochlin Veh, which is what we just discussed, Shosan Arayichot in Sukkah.
It's not the Gemara's citation.
What? The Gemara says,
or
Ochlin Achilas Arayichot in Sukkah, but our Mishnah is Ochlin Shosan Arayichot in Sukkah. I don't think there's another Gersa in the Mishnah. So what does it mean, Shosan Arayichot in Sukkah? What does it mean you can drink Arayichot in Sukkah? Right?
Yes.
Does that mean that some drinking is arai and some drinking is keva? And if so, what drinking is arai, what drinking is keva? I mean, achila, we know what achila is arai and what achila is keva. There's a difference between peiros and pot, and there's a difference between more than the kibetza and less than the kibetza, or wherever you draw the line, we saw different shittos, that's the way you pass it. What does it mean, shtias arai? What shtia is arai and what shtia is keva? How do you have shtias keva, especially since, like, you can't make a meal of drink?
Except
like, it's not really a meal to
except
drink.
For wine.
So, okay, what is the heter of shtias arai? So, what does the Urayim say about shtias arai? And he's not the only one. What does the Urayim say about shtias arai?
All shtias arai.
He says all shtias arai. Shosin arai doesn't mean shosin arai as opposed to kefa. It means all shtias arai. Now, it's not something doing in the Mishnah. The Mishnah sounds like shosin arai chutz l'sukkah, but Shosin Keva in the Sukkah. He says, no, it means Shosin Arai Chutz L'Sukkah, because all Shtiyas by definition Arai. You see how someone might say that is a Duchat Pshat. And the Rosh says the same thing. Ushtiyas Yayin Araihi. Right? Just very pithily. And the Mordechai says the same thing. The Shita, the Urayim, and the Rosh, and the Mordechai. And the Mordechai says, Kol Shtiyah Arai. All drinking is arai. There is no drinking of keva because there is no drinking of keva because it's not a meal to drink. And it, you know, the lush and the Mishnah, there are the Meiri bothered by this, even in a slightly different case.
that he doesn't love the lush of the Mishnah, but that's what he says. You have to be a little nitpick in the Mishnah. When it says arai, it's not really going on shtia. Meaning, it's not that shtia needs to be arai. All shtia is arai. It just means ochlin arai v'shosin chos l'sukkah, because all shtia is arai. So it's a little not the drink of the Mishnah, because the Mishnah sounds like you're only shos arai chos l'sukkah, not shos l'keva. But it says a little not meduyak in the Mishnah, the Urim admits. Because it's not really like shosin arai bedavka. It's shosin chutz l'sukkah, because that's always arai, which is not the normal way I express things, right? Normally, if I say, right, if I say, if I say you're allowed to bike short distances, what I really mean is that, but you can't bike long distances. Someone would say, no, what I mean is you can bike as much as you want, because any place you can bike is a short distance. Like, that wasn't a good way of expressing it, right? That wasn't the greatest way of expressing it. So it's a little not meduyek. Of course, he would say, well, since Ochlin v'shosin, they'd say Ochlin arai chutz l'sukkah, and then they didn't want to say Ochlin arai v'shosin chutz l'sukkah, because it would be easier to say Ochlin v'shosin arai chutz l'sukkah, but it's a little not meduyek, because they could have said Ochlin arai v'shosin chutz l'sukkah. Okay, great. So, of course, the other option is that maybe shtia itself can't be keva, but shtia can be keva with together with achila. Because after all, the Mishnah came together with achila, and that is the Meiri's half. Meaning, what he thinks Rashi says, because Rashi daf chafav and aleph says k'tarm b'avri rava elakala. He says toy melo piv v'shose. He eats a mouthful, which he says later on. He means like a kibetza. He eats a kibetza and he drinks. Doesn't say how much he drinks or where he drinks or what he drinks, but he throws in drinking. Why does he throw in drinking? So it sounds like if you eat a kibetza, then you can drink. But the diak is if you eat more than a kibetza, then you can't drink. And that's the Meiri's Havamina. And that is the psak of the Mishnah Berurah. Says the Mishnah Berurah Tzion, or at least that's the Vadi psak of the Mishnah Berurah, says the Mishnah Berurah Shar Tzion that I put on the Makoroshi. He quotes the other. It says, Ochlim v'shosin arayi. The truth is not just Ochlim v'shosin arayi chutz l'sukkah. The Brisa later on Daf Chaf Chesam and Beis says, Ochlim v'shosin umetayel b'sukkah. Says something about drinking in the sukkah. Now again, that doesn't necessarily mean that you can't drink outside the sukkah. So you're metayel in the sukkah and you're allowed to be outside the sukkah. So it's not such a good raya. But shtia keeps coming up. So why does shtia keep coming up? So says the Shar Tzion, says, if you're eating a meal that requires the eating in the sukkah, then the drinking that goes with that meal is also chayiv to be in the sukkah. The case where he came is Duru Amar Rachmana. So let's just put this, the Shar Tzion and the Meiri Vidas Rashi says that shtia bli achila is a rai, but shtia im achilas keva is called keva. So there is a kind of shtia you can't do outside the sukkah. You can't do shtia within a bread meal outside the sukkah. So Chaim asks, then what's the nafkamina? That's exactly why the Meiri rejects this hafkamina, right? He says, but then there's no chiddush because since you have to be in the sukkah for the bread, of course you have to be in the sukkah for the wine. So, in which case, the Meiri and Chaim asks, what's the nafkamina, right? That was your question, Chaim, what's the nafkamina? Now, the answer, I think, is very pashut. And I think the Shar Tzion is not bothered by this. He thinks it's a question. What's the nafkamina? You tell me what the nafkamina is.
Another issue.
Okay, but do better than that.
What if you mix your shirim? You're not eating a full meal of.
Okay, we're not up to that yet.
You're eating the drink in the middle of your meal.
Exactly. Meaning, what if you never like go into the house in the middle of a meal from the sukkah to like get something or whatever? And so what if you decide to, like, take a drink while you're in the house? I mean, you could be in the middle of a full Yom Tov Shabbos meal in the sukkah,
and then go want to drink a cup inside your house. Sure. So, and I think that's clear in the Shaar Tzion, that the Me'iri doesn't like this, but I think there is an answer. The answer is that if you enter the house in the middle of the meal, you can't drink there. That is an afkamina. If you enter the house in the middle of the meal, you can't drink there. Right? That is an afkamina.
I mean, you could argue that that's no longer called, like, really, you know, taking a break.
The meat,
but then I'm going to take a drink.
Ah, okay, so hold that thought for one moment. You're absolutely right. You could say, but you say, why didn't the Me'iri like this answer? Then you could say, maybe he thought that even that was too obvious, or maybe Elchanan says, no, he thought that was wrong. Okay, you're sliding them with, I don't want to speculate about the Me'iri.
I mean, the way we wrote out the words, imachilas keva, but they could also say, like, another way to make their something up is to have it with things that aren't achilas keva.
Exactly. That is the Me'iri himself. The Me'iri himself says, no, that's not a chiddush. With achilas keva, of course it's with achilas keva. The chiddush is even with achila that itself wouldn't be keva. Chiddush is you can have half achila and half shtia and make it into a keva, right? That's the Me'iri himself's answer. Says the Me'iri himself that what if you drink wine with peiros? The wine itself, that's not keva. The peiros itself is not keva. But if you put them together, then it would be keva.
But it sounds like he needed wine as part of that equation, though.
Yes, exactly. Says
meaning, wait a minute.
Exactly,
but that's very different.
I know. Hold on. You're right. I just decided to save it for 2 minutes for now. So says the Me'iri himself. He says no. He says shtia without achila is a rai, but shtia with achilas peiros, that's already keva. And he says why. He says, because that's the derech of people, meaning if you think about it, now again, I'm not talking about drunkards, right? I'm talking about like regular people. Regular people, if they would just have some snacks, that's not a real keva, that's just a snack. To just drink without eating at all, that's just to relieve your thirst. But what do real people do if they want to have like a real kevadic thing, right? They drink wine. And or they drink beer with snacks, right? If I would invite you over to my house, I would give you a beer. I would sit down for a beer with snacks, right? If I just give you a beer, that's because you're thirsty. I'm thirsty. Pass me a Budweiser. But if I really want to have a kvias, I give you snacks and a beer. Now I don't think you brought a full meal with the beer because since I'm giving you the wine, so then I can give you less food with it and it'll still be just as chashim keva. Nathanu says the chiddush. Oklam shos arai chutzasukah. You can drink arai chutzasukah. You can't drink arai bekeva chutzasukah. What's arai? You can't drink keva chutzasukah. What's drinking keva? It means sitting down with snacks and and wine, and that makes it keva.
I don't think that they're talking. When I'm looking at the acharonim, I don't think that they're talking about wine. I think they're talking about even water.
Okay, give me half a second. Will you give me half a second for that?
You got it.
Okay, now I'll just point out one last thing is. There's another shita. The other shita is that, no, it's pshuta k'mashmo, is that drinking wine is the same as eating bread. Drinking wine is the same as eating bread. Right? Is that, no, this is the opinion of the Ritva and the Machzor Vitri, even though they're different, I know, that I put on the Makoros. What does he say? He says that a small amount of wine is arai, but a large amount of wine is keva, even without food. That's the big chiddush. They hold even without food. Now, what's the difference, of course, between the Ritva and the Machzor Vitri? The difference between the Ritva and the Machzor Vitri is how do you define the amount? What does the Ritva say? Big chumra? The Ritva says less than a revius is keva. Oh, is arai. Ochum shusan arai chutz sukkah. You can drink less than a revius outside the sukkah, but a revius has to be in the sukkah, right? Says the Ritva that a revius equals keva. That's a big chumrah. A revius is very small.
right? I'm not getting into politics with Chaim Nun, the Chasan Ish here, right? But a Revius is a small cup, not a shot glass, but a little more than a shot glass is already a Revius. So you can't have a glass of wine outside the sukkah, according to the Rishon. He thinks wine is just as chashuv as bread, even more chashuv than, well, I don't know what's bigger, a Revius or a Kibetza. We do know the answer. A Revius is actually bigger than Kibetza plus. So wine is almost, right, a Revius is 1.5 Kibetza. The wine is almost as chashuv as bread.
If you eat a 1.1 kibetzim of bread, that's keva.
If you drink 1.5 kibetzim of wine, that's keva. Okay, that's more or less the same thing. Meaning he really thinks wine is the same as bread. If you have a tiny amount, that's not keva. But if you have a serving, that's already keva. Just give me a second for the Master Vitri. Says the Master Vitri very differently. Says the Machzor Vitri. He says, no, that's ridiculous. A Revius is still Arai. He says, Kshoshos Shtayim Ogimel Pa'amin, that's still Arai. Two or three cups is still Arai. But Koveya Sudasol Yagdon Be'yam Shoshosim Bachanuyos Kalayom Asr. If you really get together to drink, have a drinking party, that is Asr. So he says that no.
But that might not be an amount thing. Meaning you could say that it's a little bit more than the Ritzvah, but it sounds like it's more of a sociological thing.
Exactly. Kviya lishtos equals keva. You're right. For him, it's not an amount. It is a... So maybe I have to revise my... It is really like you're really sitting down to have a drinking party. To have a mishta. Like people who go to bars and... What? See, I wonder about a wine tasting. Maybe if it's called a wine tasting, you're not being covet yourself. After all, you don't sit. Do you sit at a wine tasting?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Good ones.
And I think that worked with Master.
Really?
That would work really well for Master Vitri, because he would say, even though you might not accumulate a revius there, because you're not really supposed to drink.
Yeah, Yeshla Ayin in that. By the way, you should, the Eliyahu Rabbah, if you notice, he said something very interesting. He says that if you have a kibetza and your covet on it, then that's considered the...
Was it on here?
He says a kibetza of bread, even though kibetza is normally putter. A kibetza plus your kovei on it works. Now, he says it as sort of a tzirif shitas. He says, because after all, some people hold a kibetza as high. You remember that? Et cetera. And some people said, what?
You mean on the zeis. The issue is on the zeis.
No,
the kibetza,
he says
right?
Kibetza.
Sure.
Yes. And some people say whenever you're kovei, that works. So he uses tzirif shitas. If you wanted to, you could have made it maybe some sort of like tzvedinim. Although that's not what he says. You need to have an objective quantity plus a subjective chashivas. Although that's not what he says. So here also, I wonder, the Master of Vitri, like, maybe you still need some minimum objective quantity as well. Yes?
You have to say that the Gra would agree to either be a Reim or Shar Tzion? Because the Gra would say that you're not benching, it's not considered.
The Gra seems to be like the Reim, although the Mishnah Berurah wants to take him to the Shar Tzion. Absolutely. Yeah, of course. Absolutely. So, halacha l'maisa we have, let's just review, four different shitas about the status of shtia, and then I'll go back to what Yonatan was saying. Four different shitas about the status of shtia, the Urei and the Rush and the Mechaber, by the way. Seemingly, Shad and the Mechaber, say that all drinking is automatically motokot l'soka, it's by definition arai. Drinking can't be keva. The Me'iri B'das Rashi and the Mishnah Berurah and the Shar HaTzion want to say, no, we have to do more justice to the Lashon of Ochlan Shosin Arai Chutz L'Sukkah and Shosin B'Sukkah. And it means that drinking in a meal is keva because of the meal. But drinking without bread is Arai. The Me'iri goes a little further, so maybe if you add drinking plus payros, that can be keva. And the Ritva and the Machzor Vitri, and many Achronim, by the way, many Achronim are with the Machzor Vitri here. The Bach and the Prisha and all the Achronim of the Bir Halacha quotes, say, no, drinking itself is chashuv. And then the question becomes, how much drinking is chashuv? So the Ritva says, just like bread, one cup is chashuv. Just like one sandwich is chashuv, one cup is chashuv. The Master of Ritva says, don't go that far. It's not really like bread. Bread is the staff of life. Bread is food. It keeps you going, you know. Wine, just two or three cups because you're thirsty, or because you want a little buzz. That's not keva, but if you actually sit down to a wine party, koveats molishtos, which apparently they, if you look in the Achronim, people are kovea themselves lishtos all the time. The Achronim talk about it all the time, they're kovea lishtos. And when I grew up, people weren't koveats molishtos so much. Maybe I just grew up in a very boring household and community. Maybe, you know, maybe sociological reality changed. I don't know. But in England, people are still kovea lishtos. Okay. I mean, in pubs, that's what pubs are for, to be kovea lishtos, right?
Did you ever go to a kids' club?
What?
Didn't you still have a kids' club?
Not that I know of, which could be for one of two reasons. You know, not that I was ever invited to. So I guess, yeah, maybe that's a, what's a kiddush club? People are kovea lishtos? I don't, okay, don't get me started. Anyway, lemaisa, there are four shitas on drinking. Halacha lemaisa, how do we paskin? Halacha lemaisa, interestingly, how do we paskin? Agav, the Mishnah Brura is sure that we paskin like number two. But he's also mesupik about 4.2. Lemaisa, we paskin that, what are we machmir for? Halacha lemaisa, we are machmir for number two, and we're also machmir for the machzer vitru, which a lot of achronim held like, and therefore, if you're in the middle of a bread meal, you should not drink in the house. That's the Mishnah Berurah talking to Shaar Tzion. And also, if your mamish kovea lishtos, you're having serious drinking, then you shouldn't make a bracha on it, because it's misafik, but you shouldn't do it outside the sukkah, you should do it in the sukkah, the achra, the Mishnah Berurah. But I'll point out the most important nafkamina here. The most important nafkamina here, of course, is, potential nafkamina, is what drinks are usher, right? Can anyone prove to me that you're allowed to drink water outside the sukkah? Well, that's obvious, right? The Talish Shalmayim and the Mishnah. The what drinks are included in this? And this is the big chiddush of that Shaar Tzion. Big chiddush of the Shaar Tzion is that there's a nafkamina which drinks are usher. If you say that it's like the original Machzer Vitri, it has inherent chashivas, just like in food, bread has chashivas, but peiros doesn't. So in water, yayin has chashivas, but mayim doesn't. There are chashiv drinks and non-chashiv drinks. So then clearly, only chashiv drinks, like wine.
Chamar de Medina, like for adults.
And I think for the Me'iri also. You're saying if you put it together with peiros, it becomes chashiv? I don't understand. If you put peiros with peiros, it's not chashiv. If you put water with peiros, it's obviously not chashiv. No, only chashiv drinks. What are chashiv drinks? So the Mishnah Berurah is sure that, well, wine is obviously a chashiv drink. The Mishnah Berurah is sure that other chamer din alcoholic beverages are chashiv. Beer is chashiv, and schnapps is chashiv, okay. Although I don't know how much schnapps people drink, but again, that's a chisar to me. The Mishnah Berurah has an interesting discussion. He says, for sure, like, beer and schnapps are chashiv. I think it's pashut that, you know, that the carbonated beverages, soda and fruit juices, are not chashiv.
But they're hold that you can make Dolan Coke, Chamer Medina.
Not a lot.
Well, I didn't say all.
That's not such a mainstream shita for this particular reason, that no one's covering themselves to drink Coke. I don't invite you over to my house to drink Coke, and I don't invite you over to my house to drink apple juice, and I don't say, let's go out and drink Coke. And I don't say, let's go out and drink orange juice, right? However, I do say, why don't you come over and have a beer, right? Why don't you, right, we have drinking parties, and I do say, let's go out to a bar and drink, right? It's not always a good idea for other reasons, but in terms of just the chashivas of the food, of the drink. So now, So that is a great question. The Mishnah Berurah is at first a little misopic about that, and that's the whole question of Havdalah, right? Meaning, let's say you have no alcoholic beverages. Better to make Havdalah on orange juice or milk or Coca-Cola or coffee. Different opinions of the poskim. Some poskim say better milk and orange juice because coffee is just water with flavor. And milk and orange juice are real beverages. But most poskim say better, and coffee, I mean, you have a whole problem how to drink it. But better coffee, that meaning how to drink it in the records of time, better coffee than milk or orange juice because no one invites you over to drink milk or orange juice. And people invite you over for a cup, would you like to come for a cup of coffee? And not only that, You go to a cafe and have a cup of coffee. You say, let's meet for a cup of coffee at, you know, Cafe Denya. Let's meet for a cup of coffee Tuesday 9 o'clock at, you know, at Cafit, whatever it is. Right? People are mash of this as a real kvios. So the Mishnah is a little misopic about coffee and hot chocolate, whether that's real kvios or not. And the Mishnah Brura says that we only have to be machmir by wine, not by coffee, because people aren't kovir for coffee. But I, yesh l'ayin, you know, whether nowadays what the Mishnah Brura would say about coffee, because, you know, but again, there's different ways of drinking coffee. I think clearly, like, the machmir vitri. No one's going to say, like, we all know there are very different ways of drinking coffee. Sometimes someone has a cup of coffee on the way out of the house in the morning, or even they get up in the morning, they have a cup of coffee to wake them up. That's clearly not chayiv and sukkah. We're talking about if you invite your friend for a cup of coffee, or you go to a cafe for a cup of coffee, then lenny is the Mishnah is mekel, but lenny is daiti ish l'ayin harbe nowadays. Nowadays that more people, at least in my social circles, meet their friend and go out to an establishment to drink a cup of coffee together than to drink a beer together. Although again, maybe that's only my social circles. I'm much more often invited over to someone's house for a cup of coffee than invited over to someone's house for a beer or a glass of wine or a shot of schnapps. So yeah, so I am in that. At least if you're doing a bikvias like the Machshavah Vitri, your mom is sitting, you're not grabbing a cup of coffee. We're not talking about Dunkin' Donuts. Right, we're talking about a cafe, not Dunkin' Donuts. Now, how about, though, if in the middle of a meal, says the Mishnah Brura, though, that if you're talking about the middle of a meal, then, says the Mishnah Brura, maybe even Mayim. After all, if Shtiyas Keva is because of the Chashivas of the Shtiya, then it has to be a Chashiv beverage. But if Shtiyas Keva is because of the Chashivas of the food that it's with, then maybe even if it's not a Chashiv beverage, then after all, maybe it's just as part of a meal. And then Yesh L'ayin. Is it only if it's a chashiv beverage and part of a meal? Or no, anything part of a meal. After all, if I'm drinking water together with a full meal, that water is also chashiv. Now, I might admit, and this is a big chumrah, and this is because the Mishnah Brura is mesopic. But because of this, I've seen in the modern day post, can say to be machmir like this Mishnah Brura, that if you're just drinking, it's enough to be machmir for the Machzor Vitri. Don't worry about the Ritva. Mayim is okay, and milk is okay, and Coke is okay, and apple juice is okay, even if you drink a bottle and a half. What?
And wine is okay, because we're not machmir for the Ritva.
Yeah, and a little wine is okay. Only if you're mamish kovei yourself to drink a very important beverage, then you should be machmir not to eat in the sukkah without a bracha, or to eat in the sukkah and have cake and make a bracha. But if you're in the middle of a bread meal, maybe you're not even allowed to drink a glass of water in the house. I go into the house to clear the table. Maybe I'm not even allowed to fill up a glass of water and drink it, because in the middle of a bread meal, everything's chashiv. It's the middle of a bread meal. And it wouldn't only be shtiyah, it would be achila also, right? If I'm in the middle of a meal, right, this is the famous yeshivish chumrah. If I'm in the middle of a meal and I have to go get something from the house, right, and, you know, I have, you know, and I have, you know, rice in my mouth, then I should swallow my rice and then go into the house. I shouldn't eat the rice in the house, because since the rice is part of a bread meal, then maybe it has chashivos. Now, I would be modeh, I think, Lenny is daiti, I haven't seen this in the Yeshiva Shaposkim, that if when you're going, your wife sends you into the house to, you know, get the next dish, you happen to see, you know, jelly beans in the pantry, and you grab a jelly bean, then I think even the Mishnah Brura would be makel on that, because you have to make a separate hakel on the jelly bean, because it's not connected to your suit at all, because your wife wouldn't let you eat it if she knew. So that's different, right? Anything your wife wouldn't let you eat during the meal, you have to make a separate bracha. But if I just, you know, take a little, any food that would be covered by the hamotzi, l'chora, that would be a big chumrah that would come out of this. That it's not dafka wine, it's even water, says the Mishnah Brura, and l'chora even any food that would be covered by the hamotzi is now part of the bread meal. Once it's part of the bread meal, it's considered keva, because it's one big chefts of keva. So it's a well-known yeshivish chumrah that you have to swallow your food before it's probably... there are actually many other reasons why you should swallow your food before you run around, just health-wise, but that you shouldn't even have a little snack of anything that could possibly be connected to be covered by the hamotzi when you're in your house clearing the table or getting out the next course, because anything during your bread meal might be covered based on this one word of Shosan Arai.
It's not that chumrah, I'm just coming from the desire to, like,
No, I'm saying as an absolute obligation.
Really not, absolutely.
Yeah, as an obligation.
That's
I don't mean Yeshiva Shachomra as like not drinking water.
Won't wait
no, no, no. I mean like as like a chashash isser. So, it seems intuitive to me that anything that would need its own bracha is probably not bechlal this psak because it's not connected to the meat meal, to the bread meal. But that's my intuition. That it would depend. It should depend if you need another bracha or not. But I could see if someone wants to say differently, they can. So I'd say dessert that you need another bracha on maybe would not be covered by the Shaar Tzion. Because how can you say it's part of the same achila? It needs a different bracha. It's part of a different achila. Or maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Yesh lion. I don't know. Maybe I'll look around.
So
okay.
With the achila sarai and the shtir sarai. Oh, some of you are different. Achila sarai and the shtir sarai. So then you have the flip side of if he's going to be chayav or may be chayav, does he make a bracha or not? He goes into sukkah. He's eating garai
mm-hmm.
or drinking garai or some of the many combinations that you have here. If it's not a clear chiyuv, is there a bracha?
No. All the poskim say you only make a bracha if you have hamotzi or mezonos. That's pasha.
It's really a basic question. I mean, wouldn't in all these cases, except maybe the matzah which right here, but like if your friend was outside and you went to like quickly like just say hello and you grab like you would eat outside.
You're saying teishu came to duru, so maybe my example is not really a good application.
I mean,
if it just swallowed was in your mouth, that might be teishu came to duru.
But that is
as opposed
to the example that you use, is exactly what people do. I mean, that's that
okay.
Is I'm just not understanding meaning of it.
I hear your taina. That. If the way I illustrated it is really maybe I went a little too far, as opposed to
even a lot more simple. Like that, you're drinking tea as part of your meal, whatever, in your sukkah, and you see your friend is whatever. So you go and you grab your tea with you, and you start hawking a friend outside. So Mishnah B'chor would say, okay, you need to really go back in your sukkah if you want to drink any more of that tea, and because it's mamish part of the meal. That's not even filling up the water in the house.
Mm.
Let's say that's even worse. But if that happened during the week, meaning you're drinking tea and you hear your best friend outside, go like, hey, what you doing? You start drinking tea when you're.
I wonder about that. In the middle of a meal, but I take my glass with me outside? I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure I would.
You would be like, wait, I need to fill the swallowing first?
No, that's why I say, okay, maybe that one I was going too far. Maybe that one I might have, you could say I was going too far. But certainly I wouldn't, like, take
you
a piece
take your
of...
Tea?
I don't think I would take a glass or a piece of food with me outside to call my friend.
Guy,
yeah, yeah. Okay. The last thing that I want to discuss now is... the whole question of peiros, which interestingly does not appear here at all. Everyone knows peiros are patur from sukkah, or almost everyone knows at least, that peiros are patur from sukkah. Where does it say that peiros are patur from sukkah? In Yuma Daf Ayin Tesamim Beis. How do we get there in Yuma Daf Ayin Tesamim Beis that peiros are patur from sukkah? I just want to briefly, 5 minutes, review the shitas. They get there from two assumptions. One assumption is that it all is a tangent. What's the shear for achila to be chayv karis on Yom Kippur?
Kosevis,
right? Date. Kosevis agas, a big date. They're wondering whether a date is bigger than an egg or smaller than an egg. A big date. I mean, our dates are smaller than an egg, but maybe they have big dates then. So what's bigger? So the they hold there in that stage of the sugya. There's two deis in the sugya. They start with two assumptions. One assumption is that a kosevis is bigger than a kibetza. Right? Kosevis hagasa is gedola mibetza. A big date is bigger than a beitza. What's this? Now, if so, what? So, remember in the Mishnah in Daf Chaf Avam Beis, Rabbi Gamliel had two dates, and he could have eaten them outside the sukkah, but he was machron himself eating the sukkah. But two dates are potter from sukkah. Two dates are potter from sukkah. So one assumption is Kosevas Agasa is bigger than a kibitza. Second assumption is that, what does the Gemara there say? That a kibetza is chayav besukkah. A kibetza is chayav in sukkah. Right?
Kabetza is not Chayitzaka. Person eats the Kabetza is Chayitzaka. Fine. Now, with those two assumptions, we put those two assumptions together, and plus the Mishnah and Daf Vav and Beis, which says that Shtei Kosavos is Potter Min Asuka. So now we have a problem. Two Kosavos is more than two Beitzim. Now, you don't need the pits, but even without the pits, they're more than one Beitza. And a Beitza is Chayiv and Sukkah. So why was it Potter Min Asuka? So what's the answer? There are two answers, right? Right, this is the question. And there are two answers, answer one and answer two. Answer one is Rava or Rava. What does Rava or Rava answer?
Peri is Potter Min
Hasukka. Peri is Potter Min Hasukka. He's actually the second answer, right?
Yeah, we're here.
Reb Yirmiya is the first answer, says Reb Yirmiya. He says, nope, says Reb Yirmiya. He says, two dates without the pits are smaller than a kibitza. And since he didn't eat the pits, he obviously thinks the pits are really, really gigantic. So two dates without the pits are, even though each date is bigger than a kibitza, two of them, when you take out, mean the pit is more than half of the date.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, that's one answer. And Rava, or Rava, we'll call it Rava, says, Peiro, Peiri, Peiros, don't need Sukkah. Right? Peiri lo bai Sukkah. Peiros are Achilas Arai. Meaning Peiros are automatically defined as Achilas Arai. That's Rava. Okay. The Rava seems to get the last word. He seems to be the Basra, the later Amora there. You know, we generally pass like Rava. You'd think we pass like Rava, that Peiri lo bai Sukkah. Almost all Rishonim pass like Rava, that Peiri don't need Sukkah. Almost all Rishonim pass like Rava, that Peiros don't need Sukkah. What's the Psak? The Psak is Halacha Lamaisa. Halacha Lamaisa. Right? Rambam. Balamor. Most Rishonim say Peiri lo bo Sukkah. Peiros don't need Sukkah, right? Peiros are Achilas Arai. However, who paskins l'chumra here? Maybe the Rif, right? The Rif leaves out the Gemara in Yoma. Now, why do you leave out the Gemara in Yoma? Now, you could say, oh, because it was in Yoma, whatever, but the Derech, the Rif normally is, if he's in one Masecha, there's an important Gemara in another Masecha, he brings it. You know, he knew Shas backwards and forwards in his sleep, right? So the Rif left it out. Now, it's a diuk in the Rif, but it's a good diuk in the Rif, right? So the diuk in the Rif, the diuk harif, and the Ramban in the Melchamos, and the Ribab also on the side here, and the Ran leaves it besuffic, right? The Ran is besuffic, he doesn't have a clear psak, is that Peiros needs Sukkah. What about the opinion of Rava there? Why aren't we worried about Rava there? How can they Paskin Peros need Sukkah? Why aren't they worried about Rava? So the Rava's rejected? How is Rava rejected?
He said the Sukkah, they don't Paskin like Rava.
Ah, so they ask Kasha and Rava and he gives Dachuk answers. Okay, but say that happens a lot. So basically they say, because he was based on faulty assumptions. That's what the Ramban says and the Ran and the Rivav, because he was based on faulty assumptions. Why? Why? Because Rava was based on faulty assumptions. Because Rava was based on faulty assumptions. What faulty assumption was Rava based on? So, the Ramban says that what faulty assumption was he based on? Says the Ramban. That assumption two is wrong. Why? Because we paskin kibitzas potter from Sukkah. Right? Only more than kibitzas chayv in Sukkah. But the Ran points out this only works l'shitase. Because how do we paskin? We paskin a kibitza plus a little is chayv in Sukkah. In the end, it's the same as saying kibitzas chayv in Sukkah. Just why be medayik in kibitza? Meaning, just like two dates are a kibitza, two dates are a little more than a kibitza. So this only works the Shitase the Ramban, meaning for us, you couldn't say assumption two is wrong. Because assumption two is so close to being correct, fine, it could beitza plus a little is chayv in sukkah. That the logic would work out the same. But remember, the Ramban held even one or two kibbutzim is potter, only three kibbutzim is chayiv. So this is lishitase. This is what the Ramban points out. Lishitase de shtei kibbutzim is potter, and shlosha kibbutzim is chayiv. Lishitase, according to him, meaning according to us, it works out. Instead of saying kibbutzim chayiv sukkah, say a little more than kibbutzim chayiv sukkah, and you still end up with Rava. How could two kosovs be potter? They're obviously a little more than a kibbutza, so they're chayiv. The answer is peiros don't need sukkah. But for him, only three kibbutzim. So for him, it doesn't work. What do you mean? You only two kosovs are potter? Is less than three kibbutzim. However, the other rishonim say, the Ribav and the Ran say, that assumption one is wrong. This was all within the assumption that kosevis is bigger than an egg. I don't know, look around. Do you ever see a date bigger than an egg? Anyone? All the dates that I've seen are smaller than eggs, right? Now, I know they're talking about a kosevis hagasa, a big kind of date that maybe wasn't in the old days or something, but we paskin, it's a matter of psak necessarily, but the maskana of the Gemara is that a kosevis is smaller than an egg. If a kosevis is smaller than an egg, it's fine. You know why two kosevis is potter? Because when I buy two dates in the supermarket, they're smaller than an egg. That's why they're potter. You don't need to say peri lo boi sukkah. So if assumption one is wrong, then Rava falls off, and then it becomes machlokes. Rava falls off, but is it true anyway? You never know in the Gemara. Someone says something based on assumption, and the assumption's wrong. Does that mean they were wrong? Or does that mean it's true anyway? They just didn't need to say it. So then it's machlokes, halacha l'maisa, we paskin like the Rambam, Rabbi Shimon, the Pirus don't need a sukkah. The Rush quotes the Rami Rittenberg was machra not the Pirus outside of a sukkah, and the Achronim argue, is that because he held like the Muhammad and the Rif, or is that just as a chumrah? Because he didn't want to eat anything outside of the sukkah, like the Machmir, like Rabbi Gamliel, and like Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai. So unclear. The Rush suggests, although it's not Maran himself, in between Shita, he says that maybe Pirus needs sukkah when you eat them bikvias, but not when you eat them without kvias. Like if you sit down for a Pirus meal, you need sukkah, not otherwise. Well, I said we don't pass on that either. Anyway, we pass in Pirus don't need a sukkah like Rava, even though he might have been based on faulty assumptions. We pass on that, but he says it's still true. Okay, we'll have to continue, Amir Tashem, next time with the sugya of Shena Bitzon.
Is that talking about focus of the Sarasito and the Shabura? If you eat a three in the middle of a meal?
I think so. Yes, I think it's exactly my focus.
Every passage appears in passing like that. It's based on objective bias or based on what people.